Deadlands, Tales from the Shattered Coast, Session 60 is in the feed tonight. This is complete in one recording as this train quickly approaches the station. Sharon could not join us on this mission, but Chris, James, and Richard take up the white hats and ride on. Enjoy Session 60. Yeah, it's there was like almost no response to asking for input or whatever. I got like three or four people that responded. No one else did. So it's like, well, I either need to change things a lot or find some other venue for what I'm doing. So I may start a different podcast. I may start something different entirely. I don't know. But I mean, certainly I'm going to continue to game and record, and I may just throw them up all up on a website for people that want to keep following.
So I was actually thinking about maybe re-listening from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I've been trying to track down all of Logan's files, too, to get up all the Heroic Cthulhu things on the server as well. Yeah. I've got several of his hard drives I've got to go through and see which ones are duplicate, which ones aren't.
I've been re-listening to your old Deadlands game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Actually, okay. There's something interesting you did there, which maybe we could bring back. I don't know if it was part of the rules or for the old set or whatever. But you, at the beginning of the session, you gave an extra trip out for people to give to other people.
Oh, yeah, huh. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I mean, largely we can just do that by saying, hey.
They deserve a chip.
They deserve a chip. Yeah. Rather than specifically giving them out. And I did have a bunch of macros set up saying, hey, somebody deserves a chip, do that. But at the moment, on a new computer, I've lost everything.
So works pretty darn well. Okay, it's just a shame that Sharon isn't joining us today because her character has some key information on what's going to happen next. So we will have to puppet her for a little bit of this anyway. She is the character who was reading the books by Nevada Smith.
I've read one of them, the one with the dragon in it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I learned from previous games, never read books.
Bert, can you release Eddie since
yes,
I got
can.
A new computer?
Yeah, I'm flying blind. I don't have my notes. I don't have much of anything that I had in my last.
Actually, there's no reason. I didn't read the books because I didn't really think of it. But if you want me to have read the books as well, that's fine. I don't really.
Do you need to have yours released too, Richard? Or do you? No, you've.
No, I've got those, but I don't have.
All your notes would have been cached onto your old computer.
No, I mean they weren't in this. They were
Fantasy
all
Grounds.
Fantasy Grounds. They weren't in Fantasy Grounds. They were everywhere else.
Yeah.
So yeah, I lost quite the stuff that I liked. Mm-hmm. Although it's probably still all on the hard drive. If I can just hook that up as an external.
Well. You can go to your local hardware store or get onto Amazon, and what you're looking for is a SATA to USB adapter kit. It's less than $10 American. You pull your old hard drive off, you attach this cable to it, it'll act like an external USB drive, and you can just access your information. You don't want to leave it connected permanently, but
no, grab all the stuff.
Yeah,
and you don't need a power.
It's got a little power adapter that connects to it. You plug it into the wall. It's all part of the kit.
Did you say SATA?
Yeah.
S-A-T-A-R?
Yeah. S-A-T-A. It was what I'm assuming your hard drive is. Your hard drive could be IDE because of how old it is. Here, give me just a second.
Yeah.
Because I think they get kits that will do both, so you don't have to guess. Oh, yeah. They've got one that does both here. All right, so I'm going to link this to you from the American Amazon site, but just look at what it's saying it is, and you can find it on your site there. This one will do both. If your hard drive happens to be SATA or IDE, it will do either one. And that's $13 American.
Technology.
Yep. I use these all the time to pull information off of workers' hard drives, the old dying laptops or whatever. Really handy.
A whole $13, though. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Free shipping.
They should have it. Well, no. They should have a thing that says check on other stores, as in check on the Co. UK store. Sort of
yeah.
Thing.
But if nothing else, I mean, I'm sure your local big box PC supply store would have something like this in stock.
I might have to wander back down there again.
You can just print this out and show it. I need something like this.
Yep. I don't seem to have that exact thing on KoUK.
Just going to delete the M and see what it finds. No, it took me straight.
Chris, you there?
I am here.
Oh, but you just dropped out of Fantasy Grounds.
Yeah, I moved my laptop and it kind of played around.
Never move anything ever.
Yeah.
USB 3 to SSD.
Well, I didn't want to run out of power, so I had to move it.
Yeah. So I found a not so great map of Deseret.
We can see it.
Shared with everybody there.
So is it Deseret or Deseray?
Deseray. That's what the Mormons called it anyway. I have no idea what they call it in Deadlands, but Deseray.
That place where you can die.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Sharon will show up. If not, we will just plug along. I have...
If need be, I can have read the books as well.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
I was going to say, Eddie was with...
Eddie could have read them while he was... Yeah.
Yeah, you could have shared them. There are a whole bunch of them. You know, the dime novels are quick reads, and you had a...
Yeah, exactly. Good we had a whole train trip to do.
Yeah.
Let's split them up so that we've each read a quarter of them, and then never talk to them of... We'll
each read a quarter of each book.
Not.
Right, well, I have a. I've read to a certain point in the module that I am familiar enough with that I think it will be a good time. So this may be short, or it may be a normal session. We'll have to see how
you realize that we are PCs and may A, take 5 years to get past the first page, and B, sequence break entirely. Yes,
exactly.
C, stop, tweet, have T somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of A.
All right, well, we'll get started then, and we are back with another Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast adventure. And today we have Luke Villeneuve, as played by...
Do we? Do we really? Are you sure about that? Anyway, this is James playing Luke Villeneuve, the guy who does all the driving, because that's my character now. The adventure cards, I have a deadly blow, double melee attack, dress to kill, +4 to charisma, adrenaline surge, extra action, noble sacrifice, take damage instead of an ally, and power surge, get back 2d6 power points.
And young Jean Lu, as played by...
Hello, I am Richard. I am playing Jean Jean Lu. Poor, simple, humble martial artist of no renown whatsoever. These guards are...
You think the man thought to push too much?
Not protesting. I'm not protesting at all. How dare you say I'm protesting? What have I got? I've got Revelation. Find out all of the information. Hey, that's a thing we can use instead. That works. Payback. Play on an opposing wild card. Get +2 damage. And to hit... folk hero, play after we save a group of people to become folk heroes. Last stand there, and while you do, you gain +2 parry and toughness. So do we as an allies. Let's settle this. Play at the beginning of a combat round with no jokers. Until joker is drawn, no character can soak wounds. I killed the party! Yay! And so I can ensure that the party dies, I have reinforcements. During combat, reinforcements arrive for the bad guys. The exact number and type is up to the GM. Every player character may immediately draw an adventure card. Huzzah for death!
And finally, for tonight, Eddie Guff, as played by...
I am Chris, and I am playing Eddie Guff. Bert, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. I have this card just rules.
Throw it out on the table, and I'll give you two more.
I think it will automatically give you two more.
Yeah, that's true.
I have two... of this card just
wow.
How exciting.
Yeah. We'll throw them both out. Put them out one at a time.
Okay, that's one.
Yeah, it did. It did deal you two. Throw out the other.
And that's the other one.
There you go.
Wow. Well, like you need to tell them all.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if the deck is supposed to have two of those. I'm wondering if it is.
I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah,
you've got the physical deck, and you looked through it, and there was only one, so...
Yeah.
Hey, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
So, do I still get 7 cards?
Yeah, go ahead. Beat them off.
Hot Iron and Whiskey. Play on a wounded character. He has 1 wound healed, but gains a permanent scar. Roll on the injury table in Savage Worlds book core book for location. He gains -1 charisma... if the scar is visible. Get Savage. For the duration of one combat or scene, your character gains the benefit of any one edge, regardless of requirements. Angry Mob. Play during combat. A mob of angry locals equals to 2 per hero joins the battle as allies. Treat them as soldiers armed with whatever the GM deems appropriate. They stay for the current battle only. Love Interest. Play on a non-player character to encourage a romantic interest for your hero. The target helps to the best of her abilities, but may frequently cause trouble as well. Second Wind. Play on your hero to automatically remove all wounds sustained in this combat, but not crippling injuries. If shaken, he is unshaken now as well. Payback. Play on an opposing wild card. Your attacks and damage against him are made at +2 for the duration of the scene. And the last card, Contact. Your hero sees an old friend or acquaintance who might help him in his current quest somehow. Of course, he may also ask for a favor in return.
Okay, so that's doubling cards, because I also have payback.
So it is. Okay. Well, we'll deal with that later. We'll just let things stand right now.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying they're doing something weird.
Yep. And Sharon, hopefully, will be joining us later. She, unfortunately, was detained.
The stagecoach was hijacked on the
way. The way to the game. So hopefully she'll be joining us later. But
what happens when you let Luke drive.
Last time on our Tales from the Shattered Coast, what happened?
Eddie was in the car drinking and nothing happened. And then Sarah came in with dime store novels and he started reading them. That's what happened.
Oh, there you go. That's one when we went to that. What was it?
It's where where we started in. I want to say San Francisco. Is that where we were?
No.
Sacramento.
Sacramento. Oh, okay, we started there, did we? Okay. We went there for long. No, we did. We went and saw. No. I can't remember. Was that? No, we must have done the previous.
We went to Virgil's agency front where he was a fabric person.
Virgil wasn't in Sacramento. Was it somewhere
Virginia
else.
City, which is where.
Yeah, we went to Virginia City.
Okay, so we went straight to Virginia City.
Yeah, that's where I was going. I mean, they were both sort of very D&D-like encounters. So, here have a map to wander through. So we went to Virgil's place, which was in the front. And he found out that he was dead, and other people were dead, and everyone was dead. No, death! And we were blamed for it because we were there. But we said, sod you, we're looking for the agency, and they said, we don't believe you. And then we said, we don't care, we're leaving anyway. And we did.
We were ambushed by people as we were leaving the thing. So we never found out why. We never looked for it, because that was...
No, we were chasing after what's-his-name and said, this was, okay, we're closing in on what's-his-name, the ghost. And so here, have a fake telegram that's from the agency that says we can run away, and then he ran away.
There are a couple of important things that I'm just going to put back out there since it's been so long. It's one that the telegraph lines are down. So effectively, communications by any other way other than hand-delivered are not going in or out.
Didn't stop us giving out a telegram.
Well, you sent out the message to be, but you don't know that it actually went anywhere. The second thing was...
It didn't stop us producing a telegram from the agency saying, let these guys go.
Exactly. the next thing is that the next lead that you have was a fictional character by the name of Nevada Smith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you picked up a bunch of the... dime novels, the Locomotive of Doom, and Nevada Smith and the Black Mesa Showdown were a couple of them. Mm-hmm. And you're heading on your way to Desiree now. Again, the telegraph lines are down, so you've not been able to get into contact with Desiree as well. This is a longer leg of your trip here, so you have plenty of time to read over the Nevada Smith stories as written by I.M. Haim. which is the name of the author. So a few of you said you were going to share jobs of reading the book. So
may as well. Yeah.
The only lead that you're able to come up with after you're sharing the books with each other is that Nevada Smith frequented a place called the Desiree Cafe. And other than the author's name of I Am Haim, this is really the only two leads you have as to where to start looking in Desiree once you get there. Left out how the last one ended, sorry, was that big train wreck up ahead.
Was that that one, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. That was all part of the same story. That's the one where we found there were, I want to say, blood people, or patchwork people, who two trains crashed, and this woman was summoning them, or using the bodies of the people who were there to raise up horrible monsters from beyond time and space.
I may or may not have blown one of the trains up. Who can say?
Yeah. And she got unceremoniously killed by Wimitai because,
fixed the problem.
Exactly.
So, but from all of this, you gather that you're less than a day behind the ghost. And so you're hot on his trail, as your train was able to, with the help of Luke, was able to get the train moving again.
Quote, unquote, help.
Yeah.
No, you help clear the tracks.
So we'll take up after you've been on a fairly, several hours as a locomotive steams along. It takes a bit for it to get back up to full steam, so it adds a little bit to the journey. But it gives you plenty of time to relax, lick your wounds, and read over these books as you're journeying in. But late in the morning, you guys are the conductor tells the remaining passengers that you're due in Desiree in the next 15 minutes or so. Apologizing again for the delay, and that connecting trains have been set up due to the delay. So no fear, folks. We'll make sure you get on your connecting destinations. And
if we haven't already, we let the train people know we're getting off here, so they need to decouple our car.
Mm-hmm. Right. So those arrangements are made. again, since no one's been able to raise anyone on telegraph lines, and no one's sure what to expect here, but as you're coming into the Desiree station, there are several flags that are set up along the way so that your train can decelerate. There's something going on up ahead. You're starting to see red flags that are posted on either side of the tracks, which is telling the conductor or the engineer to start slowing down his train. And you notice set up up ahead is not really so much a road block, but there's definitely a station been set up that is armed with troops, and they seem to be setting up to receive the train. This is well ahead of the city. I mean, you're quarter of a mile or so from actually getting into Desiree City where this is set up. It looks official. You're seeing plenty of troops out here. Soldier, forget which side Desiree has. Give me just a minute here.
Desiree's independent thing all of its own.
It is, but it also has a fort nearby. Fort Lincoln is very close to Desiree, and so they often get help from them as well.
Don't worry. We'll just send our face character out to talk to them. Oh, wait. Eddie, you'll do.
Sure. Why not? The stumbling drunk always works.
Yep.
Yeah, they're Union troops. Okay, yeah, this Fort Lincoln's outside of here. Okay, so, I mean, it looks pretty official. It certainly doesn't look like you're being stopped to be looted or robbed. but your conductor does slow down, and does people come through and just announce, like, well, we've got a small stop up ahead. Not to worry, folks, we'll get this sorted out. And a train comes to a complete stop just ahead of the checkpoint. And some soldiers board, along with people that are wearing the Denver Pacific Railway colors. This is their stretch of train track that you guys are using now. And so there's some conversation going on up forward, speaking to the conductor, speaking to the engineer. That's the scene. You're a little far back to catch what they're saying, unless anyone's particularly schooled at reading lips.
I can't imagine.
You are confident speaking to these Union soldiers, Eddie?
Not really. I mean, I was kind of on the other side.
Let's all go. We're nosy people. Let's all go.
Yeah.
Anybody work for the Union? I forget.
Miss Beauchamp. Dr. Beauchamp did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, she works for the Confederacy. She is from New York, but
yeah,
she...
Yeah, she worked for the Confederacy, you're right.
Okay. Which side is the Union men, North or South?
Well, Luke, north. You're from the North.
Okay, I was thinking it was the Confederacy of South.
Or North.
But still the North.
I don't know, I'm not paying attention. So yeah, I did then. I'm a Union person in that case.
Well, you guys come forward, and I mean, so you're over, yeah. You're able to overhear a bit of the conversation. Apparently, there was a large runaway train came through yesterday, destroyed the terminal. They're thinking that it was some kind of act of terrorism. Excuse me for a minute, folks.
So you still previously have just been dealing with the Confederacy troops, so that's I'm pretty much in the mind off.
So the Denver Pacific loading station there was practically destroyed. A lot of people died, but short of it is the train's going to need to be diverted. They have wagons to take all of the train's passengers into Deseret, but they're giving the engineer the head ups that look, you need to go slow boil, not too fast. You're going to up ahead. You're going to have an emergency turnoff to take you to a substation. All these folks will be taken care of. Don't worry, we'll get them into their next destinations. But be on the lookout. And at this point, soldiers turn around, see you guys approaching. It doesn't think too much of it. He just continues his conversation with the engineer. He's like, so we've got wagons coming. How many folks do you have here? He's just kind of looking around to get a head count. Conductor rattles off. We've got about 25, but we've got a passenger car that we need to unload back here. These are the gentlemen right now, actually, who own the car.
Hello.
Well, the soldier and the representative from the Denver Pacific, he steps forward and says, oh, I'm very sorry for the commotion, gentlemen. We'll have no fear. We'll take good care of your car. We'll get it unlatched here, actually, and we'll bring in an engine just to take it forward. Where's your connecting destination? Where should we hook her up to?
No, we're going into Deseret.
Oh, okay. So we'll warehouse it for you? Yes? How many days?
Long. We're here for an uncertain amount of time so far.
Oh, well, here, I'll tell you what. Berth 5 is open, and he starts writing out a receipt for you. He's like, if you want to gather your belongings, we'll take you along into town. We've got some wagons coming. We'll take care of your car for you. He tears off the receipt and hands it to you. Just keep track of this, if you would. This will get your car out whenever you're ready. Try and give us at least 45 minutes to an hour notice, if you would. We're having a little trouble with the turn stations
now. Certainly. No, that shouldn't be a problem. Doctor, we've got one of our party will be staying with the car for the moment. She may join us later, but for now she'll just stay in the car.
Oh, nice. Oh, very good, very good.
Could do something with her, you know.
And more novels to read.
Oh, look, wagons are coming up now. We'll be able to take your passengers out. The soldier steps off the truck or off the car. The Denver Pacific man just shakes hands to the engineer and the conductor and says, real sorry about the delay, folks, but we'll make sure we get everyone off to their connecting destinations. He kind of says to the train at large, tilts his hat, and steps off.
Not really something that my character does, but can I get some kind of empathy role to see? They really seem to be pushing this get onto other destinations, almost as if they don't want anyone to stay at Deseret.
Oh, no, you don't have to roll for that. Yeah, he's definitely having, you definitely get the vibe that people should move along.
I'm talking to the rest of the group rather than to the soldiers.
Yeah, unless you stop them, they all just step off the train and wagons are being brought up. People are starting to get their gear together. But yeah, go ahead.
Has anybody mentioned to them the trains that we ran into, which were on the line, which was missing the engine car? Which was probably what
I had no. Our engineers probably have been talking to them about what they've encountered, I would assume. So that's, I don't see why they wouldn't know that already.
Actually, unless you went off somewhere, and the engineer and conductor are there, and they said, "Well, no, sir, we haven't really had a chance to talk to them about it." Figure once we get everything stowed, I mean, it might relate to the problem they're having.
It would probably be better in that case for them to know sooner rather than later. It's always good to have information on hand as soon as you can get it.
Well, of course. Once we get everything squared away here, I mean, my duties to the passengers first.
Yeah. No, let's go tell them now.
Well, the conductor is all for it. I mean, you were really helpful during all that. He's like, "Oh, sure, I'll come along, give your word some weight." I saw most of what happened. He helps you with your baggage.
I don't talk about the fact that I blew the train up.
Yeah.
Or the fact that we saw whatever the hell it was, zombies or whatever. I didn't see them very long. Mm. Yeah, I don't talk about that either. But we're going to say we had these two trains here, and it was dealt with somehow. We get along on our way.
Okay, well, you will catch the Denver Pacific man and one of the soldiers. And the conductor relays what's going on. He says, "And these fine folks here lent in a hand. Their friend was a competent doctor, helped out. This man here, Patchy on the back, gave us a great deal of help getting our train back on and running and clearing that debris off the line. Sounds like your runaway caboose might have been the connecting part of that train." So he takes down specifics, asking, what was a train number? You know, can you tell us about it? So you're all kept there for a little bit.
It was dark. It looked like a big train. I didn't see too much as the fireball exploded, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's something. They must have had more than the usual amount of ghost rock on board there. It's a big explosion. Yeah. Something must have set it off.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Who can say these things? Sometimes it happens. It's not the most common of accounts. You know, it's all rather unstable these days, but every now and then that one little tick goes wrong.
Well,
fortunately, no one was hurt, so, you know, we can be glad for that.
What you're let in on is that, there was a runaway caboose that came through late last night. It didn't stop. It wasn't manned. It just tore right through the terminal. Caused a lot of damage, killed a few people. Luckily, it was late enough at night and was unexpected. It wasn't on any timetable. So there weren't a lot of deaths, but there were a few. Picking through the wreckage, it was unmanned. I mean, it was just a runaway caboose. They're figuring someone loaded it up, jumped off to cause this problem. Currently, they're expecting it some kind of something to terrorize the folks of Deseret or to put the Denver Pacific Terminal out of commission. That's what they're looking into right now.
Do we have any? Have we heard anything about what the ghost has been doing? Any of the things we've been coming like? Oh, we had this mad figure of this person going off and doing this thing.
Well, okay. So just to give you some things, if you've already dug up since this story has been over a few months now, he has been trying to stop a letter from getting through that you guys found. So everyone that was privy to that letter being written, or it may have been handed off to, he's been killing or trying to kill. Other than that, you really don't know what his plan is.
I never made that connection in the slightest.
Yeah.
Because that.
So there's
really
nothing we can say. Has this event happened, which we've heard about, which would be, the ghost is in the area as well. Mm. There's nothing like that's occurred.
Dude. Right. All right. Fair enough. You might not have made that connection other than that these are the things that's been in his wake, are these things.
Well, I mean, he didn't burn the letter in the slightest. So, I mean.
And we sent the letter on to what's his name. No, we gave the letter to what's his name. Because we took the letter with us to Sacramento and handed it over.
So if his job is to prevent the letter from going anywhere, he's doing a really piss poor job by not destroying the letter.
Well, the first letter you ran into was the guy was paid to make sure that that letter parcel wasn't picked up by the train, and he was supposed to destroy it, but didn't. The next time you found the letter, the people were dead. The place was doused in gasoline, but was not actually lit on fire.
We never found another place. What? This is entirely not what we found.
Are you thinking of what's-his-name's place?
Yeah, this was back in
Virginia City.
Virginia City, right.
Yeah, we had no connection about the letter.
That was not doused in gasoline. That was never specified.
The house was doused in gasoline.
Which house? We never came across the house.
Yeah, his whole house and everything was doused in gas, but it was never.
That was never specified.
Oh, yes, it was.
Well, I listened to it earlier today.
Hold on. Let me make sure it was in the right place.
Do you remember this at all either, Chris?
I wasn't, but somebody sent me the recordings.
Yeah.
And I thought I remembered that something was doused in gas. Or not gas, lamp oil.
Yeah, lamp oil, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be.
But it was never lit, and I thought that was Virgil's house.
Okay. I never put that anywhere near with that girl.
Let me just make sure it was in the right setting. But yeah, I believe it was Virgil's house.
Don't recall.
Yeah, I read this out to you.
Yeah.
The desk drawer was pulled out. The table's contents scattered all over the floor. Yeah, lamp oil was poured over everything, but it was not set on fire. Yeah, I read that out. Yeah,
I don't even remember the letter in that case.
No. There was no letter there.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I think the thread that was supposed to be picked up is that he was searching for something, and may or may not have found it.
Whoosh! That's the sound of it going over my head.
Well, he never mentioned that the guy was searching for anything.
Well, that was the description, is that it had
all the desks
had been pulled open and everything scattered on the floor.
Right, but then the guy survived his encounter with the ghost and then wrote to say, hey, I survived my encounter with the ghost. But never at any point did he write, hey, the ghost was searching for things or anything, which is...
No, he left the message, beware this, and the picture of a crucifix. That's what he left. Remember the invisible ink stuff you found on his finger? He wrote it out on the floor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it saying, beware the crucifix, but okay. There we go. Lots of things are learned that we should have picked up on earlier.
We'll say Sharon figured all that out. That's because probably don't remember. Yes. We'll blame Logan. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you found the goggles that allowed you to see the photoreactive ink.
Right.
Oh, there we go. Hey, look at all the stuff that we didn't know.
Wow. So has anyone tried to burn down an office or anything, a little office recently?
So the conductor is pretty sure that it was directed at the Denver Pacific rail station in particular. The soldiers were just there to give a hand. They don't actually go into Desiree proper. I mean, Desiree's got its own militia for that sort of thing. But since Denver Pacific is not controlled by, but gets union help, they're here to help Denver Pacific. So, yeah, they're suspecting it was some kind of sabotage to the rail yard specifically. So they're on the lookout for who may have done this or why.
Do we think there is anyone here among these people who might be agency? Is there a way we could test that? Just to say, so we can say who is the agency.
Are you asking this right in front of the conductor and everything, who's still around us and talking to us?
If I've said it, then hey, I've said it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. Sharon's character did have a whole bunch of notes from Virgil's office that were agency information. She hadn't had a lot of time to go through it. But Salt Lake City is its own domain. So if the agency has agents here, they're probably hidden. They're not going to have an office. They're not going to have any kind of representation that way.
Which is why I was asking, hey, do we not have a way to identify? Like, of the people here at the railhead who might be posing as Union soldiers or as a Pacific Rail guy?
Mm-hmm. That's a question. Yeah, you'll have to ask yourselves. I mean,
that's what I am asking the group.
Ask out loud right now in front of the conductor and the soldier people. Hey, do we know if anyone around here is an agency person? He looked around and asked that. Okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's fine. I mean, they just kind of look at you with a question on their face. It's like, what agency?
They're seriously asking that question.
Yeah. Which agency? You mean the Denver Pacific offices? The guy with the hat's like, well, you know, I work for Denver Pacific.
He didn't hear the uppercase A, only a lowercase A.
Yeah.
My state's whisper to Young.
What? Uppercase? I don't understand. What?
He heard an agency, not the agency.
Yeah, keep in mind the agency is kind of folklorish amongst most people because they're not like the Texas Rangers that are very in the public figure. I mean, people kind of know about the agency, kind of like people know about Men in Black. you know, like modern day. It's so, yeah. So these people apparently aren't really big into conspiracy things. They're like, yeah, which agency?
At least most of them are pretending that.
Yeah. Could be, but they seem pretty straightforward. The conductor, well, the guy working for Denver Pacific is like, well, yeah, I'm their official here. If you've got something, who are you guys working for? He's taking a good hard look at you this time. Probably you're dirty, smelly from all the fire the night before, because certainly you didn't have any place to wash off or take a bath. Probably still might even smell like roasting flesh.
There's no cleaning thing on the private train cabin that we've got.
nothing more than a wash pan. Is the
closest you can, yeah.
Nothing more than a wash pan. So your clothes weren't going to be able to get cleaned.
No. Okay.
who are you guys working for? A private cab like that?
We are with the Van Doren Agency. We are chasing a man who is making his way this way.
Oh, yeah. The Denver Pacific guy just nods. It's like, oh, yeah, great bunch of guys. They helped us out with a couple of train robberies a few years ago.
Hmm.
Did they hire you guys to come out and take a look at this? I mean, we'd be really grateful for help. We haven't had any word. The telegrams went down a few days ago.
We are certainly here looking into the situation. I show him my Van Doren badge, so...
Oh, yeah, he's all happy about that. It's like, oh, that's great. That's great. Your badge.
There's no office here in Deseret?
Oh, well, there's very little in Deseret that's not part of the church. We don't get a lot of help for this sort of thing. That's why I've Officer McGilly here from Union. He owed me a few favors. The guy says, yeah, you lose one hand of poker. It's like, so yeah, I'd be grateful for any help that you guys can give me.
Oh, certainly. We're here to help.
Yeah. Do they happen to send you any paperwork, you know, just so I can fill out my forms and all? Yeah, he kind of stalls for a minute and says, it's okay if you don't have it. I'm sure they sent it last minute. How'd you guys find out about this anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, we're on the scene more than that. We said, as my colleague here said, we're following someone else's tracks. We just happened to be here at the time when this happened.
So you were already on the case. You guys have an idea who these saboteurs were?
Yeah, it's certainly something we want to try and chase down, yes. We do have someone we're trying to find. It is quite possible that he was the one responsible for this.
Well, great. Let me give you a lift into town. He looks all of you over for a minute and says, couple of things you should know off the bat. They're pretty particular about their laws here. You're going to have to get rid of your weapons. No guns, knives. They don't allow them. It's an illegal activity to carry any kind of firearm or weapon on you. Also, you know the whole Ten Commandments thing? Yeah, well, consider them to be laws here. You can be jailed for breaking any of those.
Oh, great.
Right. Citizenry also isn't too... he looks over at Luke, and he looks over at Young, and he looks over at Weimatai. It isn't really very opening to outsiders. There's a particular part of town called Junk City that most outsiders stay in. Town as a whole, Deseret, you're going to find the service to be lackluster at best. Populace probably aren't going to open up to you very much. He kind of looks around to see if anybody's wearing a cross or anything. It's like, if any of you guys are denominational of any sort, I'd keep it to yourself here.
Oh, I do not think that will be a problem.
All right. Well, the Denver Pacific Station is technically not part of the city of Deseret, so if you want to check your gear in there, I'd be glad to, you know, watch over it for you. Otherwise, they've got sheriff's office. They rent out boxes for that sort of thing. Pretty steep prices, though.
Hmm.
He's telling you all this as he's helping you get some luggage on board.
Certainly, your office sounds like a good way to go. I look over at Eddie sideways about comment about having to remove all the guns.
I'm not happy secure. Crime rate here is pretty much non-existent. This whole fiasco with the runaway caboose is the most action we've seen in years. But with that, you know, he helps everyone load up and takes you into Desiree proper. So you've got a map of the city here. And as you see, the place is lined out into, it's just a grid pattern. It's clean. It's neat. All the houses are essentially of one look and style. No one's house is any bigger or more magnificent than any others. Everybody's got a patch of, their own garden going. There are no fences to keep out your neighbors, but everything is very orderly, very clean, and very neat. Except for this part here that you're, the very top around the mountain there is, it looks like a huge factory that kind of winds its way over the mountain. It kind of takes up this crater in the mountain here and spreads out just a little bit into the town.
Oh,
yeah. That's... And he's pointing this out as you guys are coming in. And, that's Dr. Darius Hellstrom up there. Junk City is just below it there. It's, some of the old factories back when Darius took over, scrapped a bunch of them for building materials, but a lot of outsiders stay there. They've got some places you can stay real cheap. You can stay in Desiree too, but prices are pretty steep for outsiders. And as I said, they're none too amiable about here.
It's kind of odd that you got Denver Pacific here. You got Hellstrom right there.
Yeah, yeah. It's when he got into the rail business, we thought we might have issues, but he's been pretty sociable. We've have good communications with him and his board, and things have been pretty well. He's even helped us out procuring iron here and there when we've needed it. He's been a good neighbor. Oh, and by the way, the books by Nevada Smith are none too flattering of Hellstrom.
Can we tell if they're written by a man or a woman?
That is a very good question.
Can you put Iron Pine in the text? I just want to see if it's written.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's see if there is a trick to the name.
Yeah.
There we go. And for the listeners, it's I.M.H.H. Y-M-M-E. I put a U in there, but it's a Y. Let me type it again. M-H-H-Y-M-M-E.
Okay. Looks like it should be something. Definitely looks like it should be something.
Yeah, and he says, and Hellstrom is a good neighbor all along, all around. Desiree here couldn't have been built without him, and the populace love him.
Well, we traveled with a Mormon preacher for several months, weeks, however long it was that we traveled with her. Anyway, I can see why the populace would want a change.
So he carts you into town, and the station, you can see his place he's staying is part of the rail station. You can see, I mean, the runaway caboose is still there. It's accordioned in. It's taken out basically the stop yards, destroyed several buildings. Place he takes you to, though, is it was safe from all that damage. Pretty it's single-story, long structure takes you into it. And he says, you're free to use our safe in the back, or you've got some cubbies here. We lock up every night. There's always somebody on duty. Hey, Vern. Yeah, he nods at a security guard as you're coming in. The guy standing there with the rifle definitely has a look like ex-military. Once a soldier, is very looks you over very carefully as you come in. You see a few other guys around.
Remind you, Bert, although I don't know how far you see. I do have a minor wanted on me for racing, mainly in the north, and I don't know how far north we are, but yeah.
Fair enough. Eddie, your question about is it written by a man or a woman? Well, it's either written by a man or a woman doing a really good job at emulating a man's.
Wouldn't it be the first time.
Yep. Yeah, wouldn't be.
Okay, so he sets you up in there. He's like, if you'd like, we've got a back room you guys can use to bunk in. I don't, you're welcome to it. It's not very comfortable. No. Some old military cots. Sorry.
No, if I know our doctor, we'll need to have some good accommodation set up somewhere. When she finally joins us. Can you recommend a place in town?
In town? Yeah, he scratches his head. He goes over to someplace. The wall. And he shows you some places around town that you can stay in. He says, well, as I said, the ones in town are a little on the pricey side, but...
Sure, Pat.
Give me a second here.
As long as it's within our accommodation budget, lifestyle, whatever it's phrased. But,
well, certainly the places are going to be nicer and cleaner than what you're going to find in the junkyard. Prices are much higher. The staff is going to be pretty unfriendly. But, yeah, here's a few places you can stay at. It gives you, shows you a few places on the map.
Is the more or less unfriendly than
what I'm sorry, what was that?
Is the Desiree Cafe on the map?
It is. If you can, you know, if you want to take your take a look there, it's all gridded out and marked off, so you can find where the Desiree Cafe is. Sure enough, the Desiree Cafe is. It is in Desiree's nicer section, so it's not the junkyard. It's actually next to one of the hotels that he has told you that would be a decent place to stay.
That sounds convenient.
And this is a place to stay in the city.
In the city, yes.
Yep.
All right, okay.
We go to Plot Convenient Hotel.
Right, so you're all aware what this means, right?
We're going to be despised.
Right, yes. Just checking.
Before you leave, he's like, just to remind you again, he points over to the safe of the cubbyholes. You don't want to divest yourself of any kind of weaponry you have. I mean... You know, I know it's I know it feels kind of unmanly not to have a gun at your hip, or at least a good knife, but folks around here are mighty particular about that.
I look at the fact that I have no gun or knife on me right now.
Does Wimitai feel about her axes?
Yeah.
That was a thing as well.
You know, she'll give them up. She's confident in her own hand-to-hand skills if she needs to be. Says, you know, anything could be a weapon if it's used right.
I'm confident in the other people's abilities to fight. Eddie can always punch someone if he really needs to.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Salt Lake City Grand is where he sets you up with. That's where you pick, actually, because it's the closest place to the Desiree Cafe.
Does stuff like powers in it with trappings, that wouldn't look like a gun would? No, I don't think it does.
Your machinery? No, actually, machinery is, if you ask, you know, they have electric light here. All the houses have electric light. They've got electric heat. They're pretty fond of their gadgets.
Okay. Because of Hellstrom?
Of course, yeah. The quality of life here is pretty good. I mean, did you look at this place? Everybody's got a nice house, nice garden. Air's nice. Well, except for if you get closer up there, points up to the mountain again. It's where it gets its name, you know, all that smog and soot that comes up out of there. City of Gloom, they call it.
And they don't have any problem with pets?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, we got a letter from Hetty. Did she send that on, or do we have it with us, the letter of introduction? Hetty.
For Hellstrom?
Yeah.
She sent it along, and you do actually have something from her, you know, basically saying how you helped out, okay. That sort of thing. Yep.
We may want to send, I'll just mention, we may want to send Hologram a note to say we're in town, we'd like to have a check with them while we're here, because I certainly would.
It's about...
Right.
Go ahead.
No, just saying. Right, yeah, let's move on.
All right, you want to check into the hotel first, or did you want to go to the cafe first?
To be honest, I'd rather clean up a bit first before I head into the cafe.
Yeah. Going through town, you definitely get lots of looks. I mean, everyone that you run into is very nicely dressed. They're all very clean and neat. Even the farmers tending their field look cleaner than you've ever seen. No one waves at you. No one greets you. Lots of stares as you're walking through town. No one accosts you either, though.
And that isn't uncommon for Luke, though. He was used to being a cycle.
Oh, sorry, this would have come up before we went in there. But the walking stick, is that considered a weapon? Because that is strapped to my back.
Nope.
That's fine.
Assuming that you use it as a walking stick, it's not going to draw any...
No, it's strapped to his back.
It's strapped to my back. Really? So that I cannot move
it. It looks like a walking stick. It doesn't look like a shillelagh. It doesn't look like a club. So, you know, it might be... You know, it actually looks kind of like an antique, so... Nah, you'll be fine. This is the conductor speaking, or the Denver Pacific man.
Okay.
That's his name's Archie, by the way. We'll give him a name. Huh. Keep calling him this. So his name's Archie. Right. So he said, "Yeah, well, you're welcome to come back anytime you want. We'll keep your goods here, nice and safe, and keep me apprised if you found out any more information about what caused this wreck here."
We will certainly.
If we do, you will know.
Quite possibly, yes.
He said ominously.
Yes. I agree in a way that's not at all assuring.
All right.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming back for the guns.
All right. Well, you guys head over to... Okay, question. Is anyone trying to hide a weapon?
No.
No.
Okay.
I guess I will... hand in my sai, which is pretty much the only weapon I get.
I can guess that Sharon might like to try and keep her... I think she has a Dillinger. Oh, that's about it. I don't have a Dillinger, so the only thing I have.
Derringer. Dillinger. Person.
Yeah, I'd be into the D. That's close.
Well, she probably has one of them, too.
In some port somewhere, I'm sure she has a Dillinger.
Yes.
Okay, so you guys check into the Salt Lake City Grand. It takes a bit of walking to get there. This place stretches out, as you can see, 1 inch on the map is 600 feet. And you guys are heading.
Wow.
Yeah. But the roads are nice and wide and it's an easy walk. Most people are walking. You do see a few people that have horse and buggies, but not many. Again, lots of stairs, but no one really accosting you.
Yeah, I was just thinking if we are going to be looking so shabby and disreputable, do we want to just grab a quote unquote cab to the
hotel? If they will even stop for us. Do not know that they will. I mean, are we going to the hotel to get changed and look better?
Yes. Yeah. I plan to. Mm-hmm. If we're going to go hang around in a cafe that everyone's going to despise looking at us, and we might as well look good while we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, if you try to hail down one of the people that have a horse and buggy going by, they're pretty abrupt when talking to you, but if you're willing to fork over a quarter, he's willing to drive you over to the Grand.
Merely a quarter? No worries.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a whole buck.
He looks at it for a minute, just like, and he gives you change.
Ah, thank you very much, sir. Do the old doctor hat.
He just kind of points to the back of the buggy, and you all hop on, and...
Yep.
The pace honestly isn't much faster than you walking, but at least you're not walking. You are, after all, in a desert.
Yes.
So, yeah, he drops you off at the Salt Lake City Grand. You do notice going through that they do have a constabulary force going around the town in different segments. They seem to be very congenial with the population. They don't really say anything to you, but you do get the hairy eye as they look you over now and then. But no one really questions you being there. They just look a little, not too friendly. When you get to the Grand to check in, you're informed that at first where they the guy behind the desk looks you over and he says, "I'm afraid we don't have any rooms right now."
I know he's lying.
We'll look around for our face person.
Really? I'd heard that the hospitality of this area was quite famed. I'm surprised you don't have any place available for guests.
You know, you can tell that he's not comfortable telling you that he doesn't have any rooms available. But he kind of, he seems to be kind of committed to it. He says, "Well, we're not that welcoming of a city, I guess you would say. We here take in lodgings for out-of-towners that have family here, friends here, people that are part of the community." Obviously insinuating that you are not.
Well, we are here to see Hellstrom.
Oh! He perks up that.
Oh, true.
Business
true.
With Hellstrom. Well, why didn't you say so? We've got rooms set aside for just that.
Why, thank you. You didn't mention it because it's really none of your business.
Yeah, he stares at you for a minute, but he nods his head and says, "Right, you are. It's not." How long will you be staying?
A few days.
At least. We don't know when we're going to get to see Hellstrom, so...
Okay. He says, it's $12 a night. If you're not sure how long you will stay, we'll say 2 days starting. Money up front. It includes your food. It includes, he stops for a minute and looks at you, includes services that you might require.
Yes.
Get your clothing.
Unfortunately, we have been traveling on coming by train, so we do intend, as you, to freshen up a little first before going anywhere. Do we need, I'm not sure, but in general for these hotels, do we need to arrange to have a hot water bath set up for us, or is it?
Oh, we have hot water in each room. One of the many things that Mr. Hellstrom has brought to our community.
I can just see it blasting out because he overpowered it.
No, it just wails like, you know, the hopeless dead. But it's nice and warm.
Yeah.
Sorry, is that $12 each or $12 for all of us?
For the room, unless you require more than one room.
Right, okay. We are a mixed party. We are obviously male and female people here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
And we have another lady doctor joining us sometime soon.
Well, first he will ask, are you married?
I asked, are we? Did we do, was that what that thing that we did with the howling at the moon during the, was that?
Well, we were tied knots. It says amongst my people, we are a couple. He says, well, then there's no problem with that.
Congratulations.
The suites have, individual bedrooms. Certainly a married couple can stay. Now your doctor, will require another room to her own.
Yes.
She's not married to one of you, is she? No? No, okay. Well,
was that thing that we did?
At the Mesa with everyone howling around.
Rolls her eyes like, don't you know these things? That's the rite of binding. It means you will forever no longer have free time or money of your own.
Yeah, that's so pretty much what it means.
No, we are traveling as a business party more than.
Okay. Well, we can set you up with adjoining rooms. That should be just fine. He looks over it for a bit and says, party for Hellstrom. We'll set it up for 2 nights.
I handed it
over. $40.
Okay. Yeah,
he gives you a slight discount.
Okay. I hand over the. I bet I hand over equivalent of $50 and just.
Yes. Okay.
It's a bit of a test to see if he takes the 50 or if he gives the change.
Oh, yeah. He gives you the change.
Right. Thank you.
And he says if you require anything, sewing services, looking at some of your clothing, just let our staff know and we will take care of that for you. He does call over a bellboy to help you take up your luggage.
Actually, I can just see us having several bags that we just slap over our shoulders, and that's all we ever carry with us.
Well, I know Eddie at least has a crate of booze, but he may not want to announce that.
I'm sure Sharon has at least five crates of luggage she has with her character.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, you are shown to your rooms. Again, they're nice, clean rooms. There are separate bedrooms, and again, it's set up for. You have seen this type of suite before, business suites, where you've got a main area, a study or a greeting area, but then you've got separate rooms. So you guys apparently have rented out two of these. The doctor has her own adjoining yours, and so she'll be set up in that as well.
I almost see the married couple over there in her area. I'm not sure how it's actually arranged from there.
We are being sent away? What?
What?
Yes. What?
What?
I'm glad that is settled.
Okay. Right. Yes, clean up time. We get cleaned up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, nice hot running water. It does not scream at you when you open the faucets. There is kind of a pinging, clack, clack, clack sound, but, it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't smell odd, no sulfurous fumes. Seems just fine. All right, so let's say all that's taken care of. I don't know if anyone had extra clothing, or are you just going to send it to be cleaned? Either way, we'll say the next hour or so, that's all straightened out. You're fresh and clean.
Well, we've got more than one pair of clothes. I mean, we've all got fancy clothes that we were given by Big Ears Tam.
I think Eddie bought some really nice clothes once, and then...
I had a change of clothes and then threw the other ones out because I was so disgusting. the old Jack Reacher approach to clothing. my sulk and cloak in that is stays in Chanfan.
Oh, okay.
I don't take it with me.
I take mine with me.
Yeah, there you do.
Oh, there we go. We...
In by various stages, we clean up and get suited up with their clothes and stuff, blah, blah, blah.
I forgot to ask what the policy on dragons was in this city.
Not after midnight.
yes. So the Deseret Cafe is just around the corner. You guys arrived in the late morning, so now it's afternoon when you stroll in. Despite the term cafe, while the place is clean and neat, you see on their list that basically they sell flavored water and sarsaparillas. There is no alcohol. There is no caffeinated beverages on the list. Although I wonder why they put that in here. What did they have at the time it was caffeinated? So I don't think colas came out yet. But anyway, that was in the text. Flavored water and sarsaparillas are in serve here. There are six tables occupy the center of the establishment, and there are six booths lining the walls. There are several people here eating and drinking, minding their own business. All turn to you as you walk in, as you are obviously not from around here.
One thing I was definitely going to take with me was a copy of one of the books, just to make it obvious.
Sure.
Vintage Coca-Cola in 1886.
Ah, okay.
Wasn't sarsaparilla used as a medicine against...
Malaria.
I was going to say one of these sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh, it could have been.
I can't remember which one it was. Or at least that was it, so yeah. I might be wrong.
Remedy for skin and blood problems.
Well, it has the whole scene where everyone,
syphilis. Sorry. Yes.
Just stops as you walk in. and after a few eye blinks, everyone goes back to their conversations and their drinks. All of you definitely stand out from the crowd. Everyone here is very conservatively dressed, very neat, very clean.
We're clean.
But not very conservatively dressed.
We're neat and clean, but we don't...
By our regards.
Yeah. I would have worn my dragon robe if I had known it was going to be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to order some sarsaparilla. Because James likes sarsaparilla.
Okay, good enough. So you
certainly see Luke needing the treatment for sarsaparilla for syphilis, and going, "Ooh, I quite like this now."
I just want to walk right in, ignore everybody, go up to the bar, and get a sarsaparilla.
Well, it serves you. So, who's holding the books or books?
I am. I'm certainly holding one. That's making it obvious.
Okay. Your server makes you your sarsaparilla. He sees the book and just kind of grimaces at it as he pushes your sarsaparilla over to you.
Give him the raised eyebrow. The doesn't really translate very well over audio.
Yeah. He just points at your book and says, "Oh, not really a fan. Mr. Haim isn't very charitable towards our benefactor on the mountain."
Oh, it takes all sorts. So Mr. Haim comes here, does he?
He shakes his head and he says he writes about this place, but he rarely visits.
Oh, so he does come here, though.
He shakes, he kind of shrugs and says, "On occasion. It's not really well-liked around here."
I look around, considering that we're not really well-liked around here.
But it's not that people are just, you're spectacles. Unwanted, but no one's been, outwardly rude to you, other than the staring. You know, no one's also gone out of their way to be particularly kind to you either, but...
Yeah. it'd be nice to sort of make his acquaintance, to ask him some more about books. Do you happen to know where he lives?
He shakes his head and says, no, pretty private person. Yeah, he does come in once in a while.
Recently? Have you seen him?
He turns around, asks one of the girls coming back, Mr. Heim been in lately? She thinks for a minute and says, oh, no, I haven't seen him in a bit.
Oh, well, come and see me, even though.
Do you know where they live?
I just asked them.
Yeah, yeah. Woman shakes her head and says, can't say that I do. He's not a... Yeah, he stays around here, but he's an outsider, you know. He doesn't live here. Well, he might live in the junkyard, I suppose, but he's not one of us.
He's not one of those sorts that goes around in a big, wide-brimmed black hat or anything like that, does he?
Well, he does dress a little outlandish. It draws attention. You know, we don't like that around here. One shouldn't draw attention to themselves.
As you can tell, we ourselves are conservatively dressed to minimize the shock to others.
They look over at Weebatai and her buckskins.
You see Eddie just pounding down the sarsaparilla. It does nothing.
It's tasty. Other than that, yeah, it does nothing.
It's gotta do something, considering how much sugar they probably put in the damn thing.
Yeah. that's true, yeah. It might be bouncing off the walls from all the sugar intake shortly, but other than that, it's not the same as alcohol.
No.
All right. So while you guys are standing here talking to these people, somebody gets up from a booth, comes over. This guy, well, he's conservatively dressed as well. Most people here are clean shaven. This guy's got kind of a wild, full beard, mustache, and kind of long, gangly hair up underneath his hat. He's dressed pretty much the same as the natives, but, you know, the facial hair alone marks him as being a little differently. But he puts down some bills on the table. Next to you there, he tips his hat at the bartender and says, see you tomorrow, Will. And as he goes to walk out the door, a piece of paper falls out of his pocket as he goes out the door.
Excuse me, sir, you dropped this. Next time, grab the paper.
He just ignores you. Goes out the door.
Oh, well. I'll fold it up and put it in my pocket as if I'm going to discard it later. And then I pocket the note without looking at it.
That's fine. Yeah, so sarsaparillas are brought by. They've got some sandwiches and stuff and such too.
Definitely get some food here.
Yeah, food's good. Yeah. Maybe a little overpriced, but it's good food. People do come in and out, and once again, every time somebody new comes in, they just stop and stare for a moment at you at the booth. And
is there a piano player that just pauses in the middle of this chair?
Yeah, they really do. They just pause and stare for a moment and then go about their business.
Once we're seated at the booth and I've got a little bit of privacy, I'll look at the note.
Okay. Hand scrawled on there, it says The Ledge. The and Ledge is capitalized. Dash the Junkyard, 7 o'clock p.m.
Okay, and it's only late afternoon now. Well, afternoon now.
Yep.
Oh, gentlemen, looks like we have an appointment. Hey, ma'am.
At the Ledge in the Junkyard.
All right.
Let's see what trouble we can get into now.
And before then, I will arrange to send a note up to Hellstrom to say, hello, we're in town, we'll come by and see you at a convenient moment.
How do you get that letter sent?
I assume there's some sort of internal page boy mail service thing.
Do you ask?
If need be, we'll do it in the junkyard where people aren't going to look at us funny.
Okay. All right, so you're not really asking anyone here then?
Not really. I sort of expect it to have somewhere around town to be some decent.
Okay. You really haven't seen any kind of services? As a matter of fact, the town itself seems to be remarkably few in the way of any kind of places that sell goods or services. Again, looking at the map there, most of the entire city is just residences. I mean, you really don't see much in the way of places that sell much of anything.
No, I'll leave it to the junkyard for a moment because we're already despised enough. We don't need to.
It's more that you're curiosities. Like, no one's like looking at you and scowling and hiding their children from you. It's just like, whoa, look at that. That's a strange sight.
Don't worry, by the time we're down here, they'll be doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so yeah, you finish off your meals. Filling. Eddie, you're probably missing that tang of the alcohol.
Oh, I sure am. Do they have any fermented peaches or fruit or something? Like a fruit tree that's just...
Nope, not at all. Not in the least.
Yeah, I know. I figured.
I don't know, probably be a streetwise thing to go and try and find something. There'll be something around. There always is. So, do we just pretty much cut to nearer 7 o'clock?
Yeah, you can, or you can go earlier. I mean, nothing keeps going earlier than the designated time.
I mean, we'll probably go... Yeah, we'll go earlier. And I said, when I get to the junkyard, I'll then seek around for looking for a way to send Hellstrom a note.
Okay. Well, the junkyard, as you walk into it, may not be a bad idea to go early, because this place is, well, Desiree itself is very orderly. Everything's easy to find. It's all set up on a nice, easy system. The junkyard is anything but.
Is it better or worse than Sacramento?
It's not so much like that, because the places here aren't so much in disarray as they are just built. One building on top of another building on top of another building. There are platforms and gantries and pipes that are linking them all together in just like one big mass. And the place is dirty. Just everything is covered with soot. It smells like sulfur. It smells like oil. Actually, this might smell pretty good to you, Luke.
It's my kind of place.
It's loud, as you hear machinery pumping away and all kinds of clacks and sounds of work on metal going on.
If you want alcohol, here's where you'll find it, Eddie, but it may not be very refined.
I can.
It'll put hair on your chest, and yes, I know what I'm saying. I know who I'm talking to when I say that.
So finding the ledge is actually not that difficult, as board signs that are hand-painted are, kind of lead you there. And it's kind of odd getting up there. It is on the sixth floor of an abandoned apartment building. Well, actually, it's not so much an apartment building as it is an old, some kind of factory. And again, everything is so tightly packed and built on top of each other that there are walkways and gantries. And you even see some people that are going, like, using monkey bars, climbing from pipe to pipe to go from one building to another. And the ledge is all set up on wooden platforms on the sixth floor of this building. It overlooks a sea of pipes that hang and girders that hang, and you see patrons that are apparently racing back and forth across from them to get to the other side. They apparently have some kind of betting game going on. Again, the air here is horrible. It's just there's soot, and it's just greasy. Just night and day from the clean city.
Below. Bidding, you say, for movement-based stuff. Aye, young.
So it looks like the ledge is an actual bar, Eddie. Where you can smell the booze as you walk in the doors.
I will lead everybody right there.
Now, he'll go there whether we want to or not. We just have to be... The question is, do we get out of the way before a stampede?
True to Luke's warning, it does smell like this is homebrewed stuff. White lightning, lightning is filled and packs a kick with very little flavor.
It's made from apples. Well, mostly apples.
It's made from something.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you've got engineers and you've got this sort of setup. You're going to have your own sort of still setup sort of arrangement. And, oh, there'll be something you can drink, which would be going to probably make you blind more than anything else.
Guess on the plus side, in this universe, there's not going to be much battery acid around. It's all ghost rock powered, so.
Well, there's not batteries yet.
It's a loud, boisterous place. People here are definitely not the clean-cut individuals from below.
The AAA whiskey has got ghost rock, just got a little bit of ghost rock in it. Mm-hmm. I can see the people here seeing what happens if you up the amount of ghost rock. Well, if a little bit of ghost rock makes it that powerful, let's see what more does. Oh, yeah.
I want to walk in, walk up to the bar, and go, I want a sarsaparilla.
Everybody in the bar just belts out laughing at you. You don't come in here for a sarsaparilla. He slams down a glass on the counter, pours out some rot gut, slides it over for you, says, "That's on the house, son." That's the best laugh we've had all day, says Gorilla.
Anything for a free drink and chug it down.
Yeah, drink it quickly before the cup melts.
Yeah.
Much. So this place is filled with people that are obviously they're workers that they work on the machines. Most of these people are either topless and just, you know, covered with soot, burns and scars, or they're wearing leather aprons, or they're wearing, you know, gauntleted gloves that they're removing as they're coming in. These are the people that keep the machines going.
Good on a solid man.
Like,
yeah, it will dick you without even a warning.
All right, so yeah, it's even early in the afternoon. There are people drinking and singing and doing all the fun things like there, Eddie.
I'm now inclined to ask for a dry white wine.
Do you ask?
No. Tempting, but no. It was more tempting for Jameis than Luke.
Okay, so what do you want to do? The guy that you saw that came up, dropped the letter, you don't see immediately in the bar?
Have I arranged for them to house trim yet?
Okay, so how do you want to go about that?
So if I'm here, I'll just go ask the bartender. I want to get a note through to Hallstrom. That's a good way of going around doing that. I didn't, you know, now that we're out in the proper part of the city.
Yeah, who are you?
There's Luke Villeneuve.
You're looking for work? Me. If you're looking for work, it's not Hallstrom you want to talk to. It's one of his bullet boys.
No. We've met Hallstrom before. I'd just like to have a catch up with him. We knew him out west.
Ah. He scratches his head for a minute and says, well, suppose you can find one of the foremen around here. They'd know how to get a hold of the man. Don't really know how a person would go see him personally. I mean,
do you know if he's actually in the city or?
Jake, come here for a minute. Big burly guy that's got a hook for his left hand, got a patch over his right eye. He's got a peg leg, walks over to you, and sits down. He's quite corpulent as well. He's a big gut. He sits down and kind of tilts his head over at you, the bartender does, and says, foreigner here, looking for a way to get a hold of the man himself. How'd one go about doing that? And guy looks over at you, looks at his empty glass, looks over at you.
I make a motion to fill up the glass. I drop some money on the bar just to sort of cover it, and most of the other things we'll probably be asking for tonight.
How much did you drop on the bar?
Well, how much has the drinks book? How much have people been paying so far of one of them noticed already?
Quarter, 50 cents.
I'll drop 10 on the bar. $10.
Okay, yeah, so you drop a $10 gold coin, or a silver coin, yeah. $10 on the bar. A bartender looks at that for a minute, scoops it away, pulls out from underneath. This is an actual bottle of AAA.
Ooh!
Pops the top, pours the guy that came up, just leaves the bottle on the table. The guy gives you a grin, and you can see that he's got wooden false teeth. Takes a belt of his drink and sits down and says, trying to talk to the big man, huh? What's this about?
Oh, we met him back west. I'd just like to catch up and see how he's doing.
Well, you've already met him, so you know your name?
Possibly, other things were happening at the time. You don't remember me particularly, but yeah, other events are happening. Yeah, but we've met him. We know him, and we know one of his employees, Hattie. Get your name wrong.
Hattie. Yeah, he rubs his chin for a minute and says, well, I don't know this Hattie, but you say she's one of his works for him?
Yeah. From out of perdition. Yeah, she sent a note to him, and I got a note here from her. I said, we've met him before, just like to sort of catch up, see how he's doing now that we're in his town. Is he actually in town?
I tell you what, I can get a note, I can pass a note up to Hellstrom's offices, being one of his foremen. He kind of looks at that $10 silver that had just disappeared into the bartender's pocket and says, Another one of these bottles, and I can see that that note gets put into one of his secretary's hands tomorrow morning. You want some better at that?
I saw I look grumpy for a moment and break out into a grin and hand over another coin.
All right. You're all right.
But looks like it's going to be. No, that's all right.
No. Here, share a drink with me.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Certainly. Oh, yes, that's it. Yes, poison stuff.
Let me show you a trick. Pulls out some matches. He says, you only see some of us here that have been here a long time. Now watch this. He pulls out a match and puts it really close to his mouth. And he burps. And the match lights his breath. And he lights both of your shots with it. Yeah, just stuffing your lungs enough. You can do that little trick.
But then the other trick I've seen where you do it from the other end.
Slaps you on your back again, almost knocking. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you pick me up that letter. I'll make sure it gets in one of his secretary's hands tomorrow morning. I got a shift tonight. I'll see one of the lasses there.
Yeah. Certainly. Certainly. Not a problem.
Yeah, so he's like, he calls over and says, boys, come and meet my new friend. And five guys come over. This is shift 314. What's your name?
This is the pie shift, right. I'm Luke Villeneuve. I'm Canadia.
You looked a little pale. Oh, don't worry. You stay here a day or more, you'll be as black as the rest of us. They're all just, there's soot everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, the sign of a good, hardworking man.
Yeah, one of them points out your hands. It's like, hey, you got the hands of somebody that works around machines. I'm the rat, by the way. And they all introduce themselves as, not names.
Handles.
Handles. And so these guys just got off shift. You know, they'll sleep in a few hours and start on again in the evening. They manage a lot of the boilers in the area.
Yep. I can see me keeping the drink flowing for the next while.
Good enough. What are the rest of you guys doing?
I wanted a bottle of the AAA.
Oh, yeah, when you saw that broken out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bartender's like, yeah, well, that's a 10 spot. It's dear. It's hard to get that stuff around here.
Eddie thunks down a $100 coin. Give me.
Well, the powers of E don't like alcohol around here, but Mr. Health, he got a special dispensation from their prophet just for us. As long as it stays up here in the junkyard, we got no problems. But if you drink too much, you don't want to be caught drunk down there. Yeah, that's a night in the tank and a $100 fine. Most of us don't set foot out of here because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to be getting back to our hotel fund.
if you pay up, he'll give you a bottle.
Yeah, I'll give him a 10. All the while in the back of my head thinking I have a case of this in the drink.
Yeah. He says, yeah. All those clean and proper people down there, you know, we're the ones providing them with all that electricity and hot water, and you'd think they'd treat us better.
Well, no, they don't care about you.
They care. Oh, they care, all right. You step foot out of here, you'll see exactly how much they care. I gotta admit, I've been treated worse in plenty of other prisons. I spent a few nights in one of their jails. Damn cleanest jail I've even seen. I swear, even the cockroaches had three-piece suits on.
You know, I might just have to find that out.
Nice soft cot, too. And the breakfast in the morning? Hmm.
They serve breakfast in the morning?
Yeah, well, I guess you gotta get something out of the $100 you're paying them. Most everything around here, all the fines, about $100. It's pretty steep.
Do they do your laundry? Make sure you have clean clothes in the morning?
Well, they gave me a bath.
A bath?
Bath.
And breakfast? All right, I'm going to have to go out there and get busted.
We have to do anything too bad. I mean, you know, they draw the line at a few things. You don't want to hurt anybody. You certainly don't want to murder anybody.
Oh, no. Eddie has just come from being fed in a hot water bath from the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, he opens up to you a little bit. It's like, you know, he's a connoisseur of alcohol himself. And he's like, yeah, you know, any man willing to put down that much coin on a good bottle of bourbon, I can respect that.
I can respect that, too.
Yeah, so, you know, the customer's actually kind of slow this time. It's this time of night. So he talks to you a little bit. Well, it's not even night. I mean, it's like, you know, afternoon at this point. So, you know, he puts down your bottle and just talks to you a bit about the place. And is there anything in particular you want to know?
If he's heard of I Am Hein and just some of the local lore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you mean those Nevada Smith books.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some of us have a guilty pleasure reading those, but he's not, the author's just not so very kind to our Mr. Hellstrom, and, you know, it's not so good for business around here. I mean, you know, it's a hard life, but it's a fair life, you know? Certainly beats having to till a field for next to nothing and never know if you're going to starve or not. Yeah. Pays well, and, yeah. Lots of accidents, though. He points over, you're noticing that a lot of people are missing limbs. Some of them actually have replacements, like metal arms, metal legs.
Right up Luke's alley.
He says, that's just, you know, part of feeding the beast. Keep all these machines running. Sometimes you got to be careful. You got to be fleet of foot, or you might lose it.
That's not something I want to do. I said, Luke over there, he might be able to do something.
Oh, really? You got yourself a fix-it man, huh?
Yeah, he's more like a tinkerer.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you you got one of them men, he's got any skill at that sort of thing, you can make some money around here. Are you a betting man, Eddie?
Yes, I is.
You ever hear the sport?
Oh, you cut out when you said hear the sport.
Yeah, that's it. He just kind of pauses at that. He says, do you ever hear of the sport?
No. What is the sport?
Oh, yeah. You've heard of boxing, right?
Yeah.
Marquee rules and all that. Well, I tell you what. Those down there don't like they don't like betting at all, but they certainly don't like blood sport sort of thing. But I tell you what. Yeah, we got late nights around here. We got little matches, little skill, mano a mano duels going on. No hold bards, my friend. They got, you see those guys with those contraptions on their arms, legs there and stuff. You'd be surprised at how much of a beating these guys can take. It's quite a sight. You're a betting man, and I don't know if you got yourself a tinkerer there, maybe a doctor. Yeah, you get yourself a stable of these fighters. You can make some money.
Own private little fight club. Oh, something to think of. When does the fun start?
Oh, late night most nights.
It didn't go where I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, I don't feel like being a manager, but I think I might want to watch.
Well, yeah. Hey, if you want to watch, come see me later. I'll let you know where the next fight's taking place. They're not strictly speaking legal or anything, but Mr. Hellstrom, he doesn't seem to mind, and as long as the locals don't catch wind of it.
Yeah.
The boys got to let us some steam now and then, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I'll come back and find out. Yeah. Right. Boys got to play.
Yeah. And what's Weimatai and, Young doing?
Not much, really. I mean, this is a bar, so they'll get a drink, really, but not. There's not a lot for them to do here now. They don't really frequent these sort of places.
Weimatai catches something that she is interested in. Some people are taken there, their rot gut, given away in these little pint bottles. Like they look like they're old small wine bottles. And they're playing a game where they break off, they break the bottles. No weapons, remember, that's a big rule around here. But they break the bottles, and they've got something kind of like a stump set up as a dartboard. And they're betting on hurling these jagged pieces of glass at the board. And it seems to be that if you can get it to stick, it's worth so many points. If you can get it within the rings, it's certain other points. And she's fascinated by this.
Oh, there's something that she could be doing, which is far worse. Along with some of the tools, though.
I mean, certainly if she wishes to take a look at that, that would be interesting. A test of skill to see if things can be done there, yeah.
Yeah, and she's also pointing out a few other things to you. It seems like the men here have a lot of steam to burn off. I had described the people going across the steam pipes, monkey bar sort of thing. So on the kind of the patio outside on the ledge, probably where it's gotten its name, there are several young guys that are doing a quick crawl across these beams, hanging, going from beam to beam, kind of swinging like monkey bars. And it seems like they're holding a bottle in their teeth, or some of them have it jumped into their pants. When they get to the other side, they smash the bottle, and they go back across. They seem to be doing it for time. Wimitai is pointing it out that it's not as straightforward as it looks. She's kind of interested in this because there's something similar that braves do in her society. They do this off of cliffs going from kind of vine to vine, rope to rope. It's very similar. It's a rite of manhood. But she notes that some of the pipes seem to be very hot and some of them seem to be greased. She's pointing out as people are going across, some of them almost falling. There's no tether. It's like a, you know, it's like a 10-story drop below these guys.
Well, that is an interesting thing that is going on over there. Perhaps I could try that, just to see.
See, I see them almost trying the thing with the, obviously I won't have a knife, but doing between the fingers, getting faster and faster.
Mm. Oh, no knives. No one's got knives.
They've got jagged bits of glass.
They have jagged bits of glass. There you go.
Makes it more fun.
So not only do you have to make sure you don't cut your fingers when jamming the jagged bit of glass into the tabletop, but you have to make sure you don't cut your hand while you're holding the jagged piece of glass.
Hey, if you got skill, you got skill.
And the guys that have true. The prosthetic hands are at an advantage.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. I will go over and... You know, we'll go over and give it a go of the monkey bar thing. And if Wimitai wants to try out the throwing thing as well.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun and game with traditional pub games. Woo!
Okay. So you watch it for a bit. It seems to be what goes on. It's like on the mark, the people racing jump off of the ledge, grabbing onto an overhanging pipe, and you got to take a bottle with you. How you carry the bottle is up to you. But when you reach the other side, you have to smash your bottle on the other end, and then you have to get back across, and it's done for speed. So there's a young guy that seems to be, you know, he's drunk a little bit to get his courage up, and he swaggers over and kind of looks at you and says, "Hey, China man, fancy a go?"
"My name is Yong."
"Yong! You look young. Well, Mr. Yong... young enough that you still have some cash on you?" And he pulls out like a $5 piece and slaps it literally on the barrel head. It seems to be where people are putting bets down.
"I am certain I can cover that bet.
I'll walk up and slap a $5 on it."
"Well, that seems your friend here has got some faith in you."
"As I said, I am certain I can cover that bet as well."
All right. Actually, there's several other people.
Five for each of us.
Then. Yeah. There's several people start slapping down bets, and a few of them are talking. It's like, "Oh, I've seen some of these Chinamen move. I think he can take them. I don't know. Bill's done this a long time." And, yeah, so the bets start flying. All right. So, you want to do this?
"Let us try."
Okay. You start off. You need to make
Point this out to the pie guys and sort of say, "If you want my advice, don't bet against the Chinaman."
Yep. So the rules are explained. You have to go. You can't go on top of the pipes. You got to swing from pipe to pipe below. You got to get there with your bottle. If you drop your bottle before you get to the end, you got to come back and get another bottle.
How close to the end is the pipes? I mean, how do you?
Oh, like how far across is it?
Yeah, from... Right. No. If you are at the end of the pipes and you need to smash the bottle, mm-hmm. How far away is the wall that you smashed on?
Oh, yeah. It's basically the ledge on the other end. So, like, you do have to actually climb up from the pipe to smash it, and then you'll have to climb back down to the pipes. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Okay. Yeah, it does. That's a... Oh, well.
Do you want the Get Savage card?
No, I think I'm okay. No, I was just wondering if I could put it on my back and then, turn around and swing into the wall and smash it that way. As just turning around. Okay. Very dangerous, sharing my back with glass, but hey.
I asked the guys with me how many of them have shoved it up there, and so I just swing around backwards.
Well, you hear a tale about a couple of people that tried that.
Yeah, I'm sure more than one have.
You ever see a prosthetic ass? Shakes his head. All right. So yeah, they've got a system for this here. So first of all, you need to make a climbing roll.
Well, that's most of us out anyway. Yep.
You don't have climbing; it's defaults.
Yeah, exactly.
Unskilled.
No, I do have climbing.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I take most of my scouts. That's why I say you are the one to do this, not me.
Okay. So you start with a climbing roll, and so will he. He is not a wild card, but he is pretty good at this. All right.
I just want to know, do you cast walking first?
All right.
No, that's not worth it.
Go ahead and make your roll. Okay, a 7. So you you leap out, you grab the pipes, and you start across. You've got a good solid lead ahead of him. I mean, he's doing pretty well, but it looks like he slipped a little bit as he jumped out. But he's behind you. You're ahead. Now I roll a d6 for you.
You can do this as a chase rules.
No, they got a whole rule system here for it. I think it's theirs.
Okay.
So you didn't roll a 1. Okay, so you hit a grease pipe. As you reach out and you grab a pipe for your next swing over. Let's see, you can. Okay, so you grab it and you're about to slip off of it. Give me a vigor roll. I suppose it could be an athletics roll, actually, in this, but this was written for an earlier system. So athletics are trying to hold on.
So you're about agility to slip. I have acrobatic as perfect. One of my edges. So.
Yep. But right, so you rolled. I'm going to see if he hits. You're good. You're able to. You slip a little bit, and you know now to look out for it. Oh, he hits a really hot pipe. He grabs onto it. You hear him scream out as he's behind you. A couple of swings. He reaches out, and he's able to stabilize himself, and he's still in the race. But his hand you can smell the flesh cook. All right. And since you were ahead there, give me one more. Give me another climbing roll.
A climbing roll.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun.
you don't make it to the end yet. You're still swinging across, and this time you don't hit anything interesting on the pipes. He comes up behind. He continues to be behind you. You're still ahead of him. And he hits another hot pipe.
He's trying to show off.
Background. But he does manage to catch a pipe and he keeps going. It's both his hands are burned now, but he's a contender. He's still.
I'm just waiting for Young to turn around and help him. Oh, damn it. All my bits are on.
Give me another climbing roll.
Chaps, my dragon-like agility.
All right, this time you make a final swing and you make it to the end and you're able to climb up, smash your bottle over the rock, and you're back down and you're starting to lap him. You're crossing over to where beside him there.
Going back the other way.
Yep, yeah. Going the other way, and he is gonna. Okay, yeah, he succeeds this time, smashes his bottle, and he hits a grease pole coming back through, and this time. His hand's burned, and now he's got grease on the other hand, and he's in trouble. He's yelling for help. His grip is slipping. He's trying to grab onto a pipe with his other hand, but it's so badly burned, he can't get a hold of the pipe.
All right. Well, I go back and, help him.
Yeah, we need the little coming.
Yeah. I will cast wall walking.
Okay.
So that I can walk on top of the pipes without any problem and then pull him up and we will nimbly walk back together across the top of the pipes.
Sure.
That is what I'm going to
do. I lead a round of applause. Yay for the Chinaman! Yay!
Now the guy's just like holding on to you. He can barely do it. Both his hands are really badly burned and the grease on the other one is starting to cook. When you get across, everybody actually is cheering. The officiator is like, you both cheated, though. All the money goes back. the guy's like thanking you for, he's a little drunk going into this. He's sober now, but he's. So at the height of this going on, people are actually congratulating you. A lot of them are just leaving the money on the table saying, you take it. That was great. It's like everyone's like, yeah, that was the best thing we've seen in the last week. So, yeah, that's while this is going on, the guy that was in the restaurant or in the cafe strolls in. He sees that you all are here early and invites you back to a table. Weematai apparently won big. She's got a stack of points and dollars in front of her. And as you guys come back in, she says, how much is this? What can I do with this?
get the whole place drunk.
Sounds like a good idea.
She's won like $50 here, you know.
Yeah, get the whole place drunk.
I don't know. And you could buy 5 bottles of that thing that Eddie likes, or
at this point, there's not any left by the time we've been here one night.
So yeah, she thinks about.
Well, I don't know. Does she have plans on down payment for a wedding or something like that? No, for a house or anything like that. I don't know.
Oh yeah, she was just interested in whether it was good or not. Is this good?
Yeah.
Pockets it. So the guy takes you in to a corner and says, he puts his big, thick hand out, very heavily calloused and scarred over the knuckles. He says, Bo Buchanan, here you were looking for Mr. Heim. Take a seat.
I'm Luke Villeneuve. This is, I just said the others to introduce themselves. They definitely do.
Hmm? What?
All right.
This is Eddie. This is Wee Magi.
So, why were you asking after Mr. Heim? Oh, hey, drinks over here. Bring the good stuff. Another bottle of AAA appears at the table.
The name of... What's his name? Smith. I can't remember.
Nevada Smith, the character?
Yeah, the character and name of Nevada Smith has come up in connection to a case we're working on.
Case you're working. Who are you with? Yeah. He kind of scrutinizes you a bit.
Don't know if you recognize the name of the agency, so we'll just go with the Van Dorns.
Right, everybody can make me a perception roll with the table.
Yeah. I actually do phrase it like that, so he may well know the agency. Which is why I phrase it like that. Perception. No dice roll.
Wow.
Whoa.
Eddie sees everything. Finally getting booze after all that time is sharpened to senses.
Right.
No, it's the sugar high.
Well, all of you are. Yeah, it's the sugar. Well, all of you notice that he doesn't, you know, he knows what you're talking about when you say agency. There's no misunderstanding there at all. Eddie, you notice that there's a little shift in his body language. Like he tenses up just a little bit when that word is said. That's your extra perception there. Okay, so go on. What were you saying?
I can't remember. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
He asked you who you were.
Yeah. And that's what I said. You probably won't recognize the agency, so we'll just go with Van Dorn's.
Okay. Van Dorn's, huh? So what a bunch of detectives. What to do with Mr. Heim?
Is he wearing any kind of rings?
Nope. Although you do see a void on one of his fingers where there was a ring. Probably until very recently, as the skin is very light underneath it.
I shall take out my Explorer's Club ring, look at it, and put it back again.
Yeah, I'm keeping the same perception rolls. There's not seems to be any kind of recognition at that.
Okay. Are you aware there's... subtlety's never been our strong suit, and that never worked out in the past. We're following the tracks of Andrew... Name I can't remember, the ghost.
Lane.
Andrew Lane, the ghost.
Okay, Eddie definitely tenses up at that. The rest of you just notice that he knows the name for whatever Eddie, but he is definitely keyed up. Mr. Lane.
Yes.
I might have ran into him once or twice.
Yes, so the last trial we had was Nevada Smith, and so we came looking for Mr. I.M. Heim.
So this is an investigation, you say. Has that got anything to do with that railway problem the other day?
Quite possibly, yes. Certainly, the ghost is acting a little bit out of character, and I wouldn't put it past him that he would, in fact, have been involved in that.
All right. Well, he leans forward a little bit and says, I can put you in touch with Mr. Heim if that's what you need. This is a service I'm rendering, you understand.
How much?
He looks you up and down and says, $50.
Hey, that's exactly the same amount that Wimacha just won.
I'm going to put my elbows on the table and look at him and say, and what would the ghost say about that?
I don't know who that is, but I know who Mr. Heim is. I can take you right to him. I can take you right to him tonight, as a matter of fact. And just as he's saying that, doors are opened rather suddenly. And there's a group of 10 men that are armed with rifles that come in. Ooh. Give me a second here.
Oh, look at them slowly bursting into the...
Yeah, slowly bursting in, yes.
They're moseying into the bar.
All right, so it looks like it is the Nauvoo Constabulary. It's, you know, the Deseret Police, essentially. They're busting in, and one of them yells out, "We're searching for those individuals responsible for the train sabotage at the Denver Pacific Depot. $200 to the person who turns them in now." People start, you know, $200, looking around the room. One guy in the back that apparently is holding a grudge against Wimatai points over at your table and says, "Hey, those people are there, new." Bo looks over at you and says, "Gentlemen, I believe we should be going."
I look around for a face person who could talk us out of this.
We are indeed new here.
Yeah,
I follow him.
He's waiting to see what you guys are. You know, yep. He suggests you go, but he's waiting to see what you do.
If we go, are they going to pursue? That's the thing I'm worried about. I don't really want to get into a huge chase.
The guy here has just said it. I understand this. The guy here has just said time to go. So I am just reacting and time to go. Right. If you guys are going to stay there and go, hey, we weren't even in the city when this happened. We came in on the train afterwards. We were amazing and we're talking to the people before to try and talk them down.
All right, well, let's do this moment by moment here. So you stand up because he says, "Let's go." And so you're a man of action. You stand up. So Bo stands up as well. And he kind of motions you over towards where the restrooms are in the back. And he starts walking over that way. What do the rest of you do?
I'm unless it's going to split the panic cause problems, but I'm going to stay where I am for the moment. Okay. Look around, going, "What's going on? What's all this thing?"
Okay,
I'm going to stay with Luke.
All right, so they both look like they're staying. What are you doing, Young?
I'm going with the guy.
Okay. Well, noticing that the rest of your friends aren't coming,
will be going as well, I suspect.
Okay. He stops over by the restrooms and he waits for a moment to see what your friends are doing, and he tells you, "Well." He kind of pushes on a panel that's in between both bathrooms, and it kind of swings open a little bit, just enough space for a person to wheedle through. He says, "Sometimes they run a bust up here, getting people for excessive drink. Well, we shouldn't be drinking at all, and run people in. This is a quick way out back if you can't afford the $100 fine. Your friends don't seem to be moving, though. What do you want to do?"
"Well, you said to go. Will it cause more problems if we stay?"
He shrugs. "I don't know. Did you have anything to do with that crash?"
"In that we are chasing the person we think is responsible for it, yes."
"Huh? They're nothing if not fair."
"Then I go to the toilet." I think.
Okay.
Just make it look like, "Oh, God, son."
"Oh, this alcohol isn't agreeing with me." okay, so they...
Oh, I'm washing the grease off my hands.
There you go.
Thing,
yeah. So Wimatai will take your lead and go to the little woman's room. So the Nauvoo regulars come into your table. So the leader kind of sits down as the other ones are standing up around you. People are starting to leave. They know what's up. They don't want to be fined, etc. But they're not making any... You know, they're not being threatening, per se. I mean, their rifles are tucked. You know, they're not pointing them at you. And he sits down and he pulls a chair out and sits down at the table with you and says, "Sorry to disturb your evening, gentlemen. Just some questions, please. We were tipped off that the people who caused this crash yesterday were in the bar tonight. You seem to be newcomers here. Where are you from?"
"We've been based out west. I don't know if you've ever heard of the place of Perdition or otherwise Shannonsburg."
"Okay." He nods at this. "This is where are you staying?"
"At the... The name of the place which you gave us once, in the Salt Lake Place Barn. I don't know what it was."
"So how long have you been here?"
"Got in this morning."
"It seems you're like... Probably, it seems like
you've probably heard of the train situation that came in overnight. I don't know if you have any of the soldiers have mentioned or the Denver have mentioned what's going on."
"Well, we haven't talked to the conductor yet today. We were just put on the lead of some interesting information that was passed on to us a few hours ago. So what's your purpose of visiting here?
Oh, of course, a few words with Hellstrom we'd like to have.
Oh, you know our Mr. Hellstrom.
Yes, yes. From back west, as it sounds.
So you work for him?
No, we're in town, want to sort of catch up and see how he's doing.
And what's your relationship to one another? Co-workers?
Yes, we work for the Van Dorn Agency usually. I bring pull my badge out slowly if it looks like he's going to suddenly leap for his rifle.
They tense for a moment, but when they see it, you know, you've got a badge, he looks at it and says, oh, interesting. The badge doesn't carry any weight here, but I understand that you're a professional.
Yes.
So I'll give you some professional courtesy. We were given a tip that those who might have been responsible would be in this bar tonight. Everyone around here is pretty much regulars. We've seen them before. You're the only new faces here. Mm-hmm. So why would that be?
Because we've only just come into town this morning?
He shakes his head. No. Why would we have been tipped off to see you here? Obviously, it's got to be you that we were tipped off about. He looks in the room. You had some friends with you.
I'll look around and see where they are. Really coming out of the bathroom. They're heading off to the bathroom, last I saw.
All right. He nods to one of his men, and he peels off and goes to... check out the bathrooms.
Yeah,
Aaron climbed out the window, so.
because perhaps a case of a mistaken identity, just a coincidental timing of we happen to be here and this was someone else was going to come here as well?
He nods at this. He says, so, meet the acquaintance of our Mr. Hellstrom. Can I get your name?
Yeah, Luke Villeneuve. It would have been on my badge anyway, I assume. So.
He writes it down and asks carefully for how it's spelled. Yes, okay. After a bit, he seems to be satisfied. He says, "Well,
yeah. You can talk to the conductor at the railway station of the train we were just on, and the Union Blue Boys. Sure. Talk with them, help them out a bit."
Well, you understand, we will have to check this out. Don't leave town. We'll check in at your hotel. If you need to leave town, check in with the constabulary first. His man comes back. Says, "Yeah, there's a Chinaman in the crapper."
Oh, we certainly hope you catch these foul fiends who are perpetrating this disastrous event.
He's very polite about it. I mean, firm in the questioning, but he never expresses any particular doubt as to anything you're saying.
I've been perfectly open as well. As you can tell, I'm not trying to hide anything.
You guys do have a bottle of of AAA opened on the table.
Hey, if he's not saying anything, I'm not saying anything. I mean, it's quite obvious he knows what's going on with that situation, so unless he brings it up, I don't see the point.
He looks at it, and none of you have been drinking to excess, he's fine.
I am not going to reach for it while he's here.
No, have you been drinking to excess?
I always do.
Sarsaparilla, baby.
Yeah, but I'm sitting down so you don't know.
There you go. You're not making a scene. You're not really back talking him or anything. So it's like, I will assume that bottle there, it doesn't belong to you folks. And he gets up and says, well, appreciate your time. And you notice that pretty much everyone else is gone. And he goes, as he's leaving, he tells the bartender and he says, you know, these little intrusions would be far fewer if you'd stick to the sarsaparilla. Bartender's like, yeah, I got you. All right, Abe. They seem to know each other a bit. Files out. So Bo is waiting he knocks on the restroom doors and says, you guys can come out now. I think it's fine.
What? We can come out? I was not hiding. This is a very stubborn grease stain here that I'm trying to get rid of.
Well, that was certainly exciting. Well, If that offer's still standing for my $50, I can take you to see Mr. Heim right now.
So,
How much is left in the AAA bottle?
Not much.
I'll finish it up and say, sure, let's go.
Okay.
Sarsaparilla tastes funny.
He takes you down. Actually, the entrance he was trying to push you down, which is, you know, the secret passage. So you guys squeeze between the walls between the men's and women's laboratories down this really tight alley. It ends up in the back of the establishment, and he takes you across several planks that are set up between buildings here and there, and you end up in a fairly dark alley. There's some lights here and there. Most of the lights have been broken out, though, and he pulls a wrench out of his pocket, and he starts tapping, almost like in code, on one of the pipes, and you guys hear coming back, responding tap from the other end.
If it's Morse code, I speak Morse code.
It's not Morse. You're some kind of
just code. A tap code. Yeah. Shaving a haircut, 2 bits.
All right. So out of the shadows steps a man. He's staying in the shadows though, so you really can't make out his face. Heard you looking for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would be. I am Haim.
It's the name I go by.
Yes, indeed we have. Unfortunately, I can't, not actually positive what the clue was we got with regards to Nevada Smith, so somehow we had the name Nevada Smith.
We just know that the ghost was asking about him. That's all.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well.
We're trying to get that.
Yes, the fellow we're chasing, Mr. Andrew Lane, was inquiring after Nevada Smith, so we... They're trying to track him down, Mr. Lane, down through his leads of following Nevada Smith.
And what exactly do you want with Mr. Lane?
He is undergoing some problem at the moment, and we are looking to help out.
Help him, huh?
Yep. Right, we know. We understand something of what he's going through at the moment. The cross he has to bear, and so we want to do what we can.
That's very interesting. And the guy steps forward into one of the light bulbs, and standing in front of you is the countenance of Mr. Lane.
Do we know what he looks like?
Yeah, you've been shown pictures.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Huh? They've shown you basically a drawing of him, and he's of course not wearing the stove pot top hat. He's not got the mutton chops, you know. So, yeah. And she says, well, you've got your wish, gentlemen.
Excellent.
Okay, so everybody give me your notice rolls.
Do you need to...
Ooh, someone notices stuff. Right.
Yeah, I see stuff.
Yep, I
see stuff. Not as well as before. No. The sugar high's going away.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, we met high?
Yeah, I'm just looking where that is.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay, everybody except for Young, basically. you notice that Bo has kind of stepped out of the way behind you, almost like he's clearing out of the way of possible gunfire.
Oh, I hope not.
Eddie and Weematai both noticed that back under, back in that dark patch of light that he stepped out from, would be a great place to set up a sniper's nest or a man with a rifle, because you're backlit by light, and it's dark back down there. So, gentlemen, what have I done to deserve such treatment? What is it you want from me?
I'm going to slowly shuffle to one side, kind of like spread the party a little bit.
We know of what happened in... Oh, my memory is just nothing today. Back in... What's name? I look at Young, he seems to remember all the names.
Hmm? What? No, Young does not remember all the names. Okay. Richard does, Young does not.
I'm trying to look it up on the map now.
The Watleys?
Yes, the Watleys. Gamora, that's the chat. Gamora, yes. We're aware of what happened in Gamora. And we're looking to find you to follow up with you with what happened there. Someone's typing away.
Yeah, give me a second. I'm answering Richard.
How much trouble are we in? You are all about to die.
Okay, so since you're talking,
yeah,
so there's some more tapping on the pipes, and he reaches out, and he's got like a screwdriver, and he just taps something on the side, and he steps forward, and he says, who are you working with?
Oh, names again. I look around at Eddie and Young, the name of the chap that we are talking with, I can't remember his name. Weematai, do you remember?
You're looking for the
agency guy that we're working with.
All right.
Not Isaac Bell, because that was our...
No, that's our one.
That's our one.
We're talking about this in character, Bert, so don't.
Yeah, I got you.
Unless Mumatai happens to put in anything, you know. We're really useless.
It would be Court Williams, current head of the agency, with Lane being incognito. Okay, so the guy recognizes the name right away, and he steps forward and says, huh, interesting. And he reaches up, and he pulls his face off.
Yeah, takes his face off.
So there's an entirely different person here. And, you know, he kind of puts his disguise aside and takes off his shirt. You know, see that he came well-armed. He says, come out, guys. And several riflemen come out from behind me there. He says, so I don't know who you are or what all is going on here, but we need to talk this way. And he,
I am looking completely lost at this point.
Are you the ghost as well?
No, no. But I'm convinced you're not here to kill him.
Kill who?
The ghost. I'm with that much at least.
Mr. Lane, or the ghost, as some of you know him as. In here, please. He opens a door. He goes in first.
Okay.
Please. It's I'll best follow. If we have this conversation off the streets.
Yeah, I'm overconfident. Yeah. I follow.
I bemusedly follow along with the others.
He says, he turns around and extends his hand as he's pulling off the gum that was holding the mask on. He says, I'm Mulwood, Agent Mulwood.
Hello, Agent Mulwood.
Have a seat.
Should we know that name? I ask him.
Well, you know, if Sharon were here, her character would have caught the name in all the paperwork she was looking through. But all
right, okay.
And he says, "I go more."
There's a reason popularly know me as the talking.
You might popularly know me as Mr. I Am Haim. Yes, I do write the Nevada Smith novels, okay. And I was aware of your coming, although not in the way that this has been presented. Please, you know, make sure everyone sits down. He sits down as well. And he kind of tells the guys to go and watch the outside. So it's just you and him.
No, we're for our rather more conventional approaches to things.
He says, Bo and I are the only, are the two agents in charge here. Mr. Lane came through yesterday telling us that there were people on his trail that were looking to kill him, to murder him. I mean, we were given explicit instructions to track you down and kill you. That wasn't the Lane... that I have, well, he acted a little odd. Lane's never been that type of a type to do business that way.
Yeah. Do you know what happened in Gamora?
I do. Well, at least I know about the battle. Lane was injured there, but he seemed to be in one piece, if not in one mind.
He was injured, not just physically. He was injured physically as well as mentally. Actually, I don't know if we have those sort of terms yet, but he was injured physically and mentally in his. His worst nature seems to be taking the fore at the moment. We are trying to reverse that. We know he was infected with some of... Do you know of Grimes in Los Angeles?
He nods. He says, I've read the papers coming out of there. Some of them, anyway.
Due to Grimes, he has been infected by other nefarious powers, and so we are doing what we can to reverse that. We are, in fact... on a crusade to stop Grimes from his activities, and this is just one more step in
putting. So this thing that's affecting Lane can be reversed?
We believe so. It may not be easy, but we're certainly going to try.
Nods. Well, Lane is still in town. I know where he's holed up.
Oh, Bo, really?
Bo here, Bo here said that you handled yourself pretty well over at the ledge, and he nods over at to Young. Sorry, he says. You saved a man tonight. Speaks well for your character. It's why I was willing to listen and not shoot you down.
Well, then I am doubly glad that I did it. Saved a life.
If you're going to help us with Lane, then it's best we tell you exactly what happened with him. And so we'll go blah on. He was affected with a piece of the altar and the rest of it.
Hmm.
So you're laying it out there for him. Yeah.
If he's going to help us against Lane, then it's best he goes in with his eyes open.
He's convinced.
If he's going to double cross us, he can kill us anytime he wants because we don't have guns or anything. So
he's convinced. He's like, you know, I don't like being given orders to just murder people without knowing why. Like I said, it just didn't sound like Mr. Lane. I'm glad that there might be something we can do for him, but I can tell you that getting to him is going to be difficult. And if He just shakes his head. This is going to be a hard proposition, but me and my men will help all that we can. Do you think there's a way to get him back?
Hopefully, if we remove these items, it will release the hold they have on his soul. I believe that's the case, isn't it? That's what we think.
That's what you think.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's right or not. It's what we think.
It was either Young or Richard pointed out that in the vision that he had written down, that the prominently figured on the cross as being something that's weighing him down. And you also know that he was shot with a bullet that's still lodged in him that has a piece of Grimes' altar.
Yeah. We'll explain that to him. But as far as we understand, removing that should remove the taint on his soul. We can but try.
Well, I'm sure he's not going to be amiable to this. He's going to fight us, no doubt.
Most likely. And it's going to hurt. We've seen, as I said, we've seen Gamora. We've actually spoken to Gamora and seen what happened. And that was when he was in control. Yeah. But we're going to try anyway, because that's the kind of people we are. Stupid.
He nods. Courageous. Well, I think it's best that we all get a good night's sleep. He's going to be here a while. He's got business here. He won't be leaving. And I know the area he's in. Perhaps it would suit us best if we all got a good night's sleep and picked up the trail in the morning. Yes?
Yep, sure. If that's what you think would be best.
All right. You have a place to stay?
Yes, the Salt Lake Barn, whatever it's called. I still can't remember what it's called.
Can you folk handle your souls with guns?
Yes. Certain good people there, especially are rather good marksmen.
And we'll provide
if our doctor's feeling better, then if you get her a shotgun.
Well, we'll provide you with weapons. We're the Bo and I are the only agents in here, but there's a bunch of friendlies. I'm sure that Lane's got himself surrounded with I hope it doesn't come down to it, but we may need to fight our way in.
We have weapons. They are just outside the town. Do you have a way of getting them into town?
They're in the Denver Railway Station safe. Oh, yes. We can get them out. It's just that we can't get them in town.
Yes, I can get them in.
Yeah, certain of us have rather fine-tuned their approaches with particular weapons. It would be good if they had those weapons that we'd be most comfortable with. That's as much as I can explain to us, because we can't really say, oh, they've got this edge.
Sentimental value.
I can arrange that. Back at the ledge. Let's get a fairly early start so we can get some reconnaissance in. It might help our odds a bit. So say noon at the ledge. That'll give me enough time to get your weapons in. Anything else? Is there anything that could help the matter that I might be able to get a hold of?
Really need the doctor.
Nothing
that James can think of if there's something he's missing. Then whoops.
We have no idea what is going on with.
Oh, Mr. actually, Light. There is something else I can help with. Limited effect. I think I still have them from when I made them previously. I don't know if they expired.
Oh, the potions.
Or not. Yeah, the potions.
Yeah,
we've got potions here which might negate any particular effect that happens. So I can't guarantee as to the effectiveness of it, but if he does something to you, this might help.
Very good.
I explain the conditions under which the potions work. I don't know how they work in game terms, but they do.
Okay. Yes, then he has agreed. Meet at the ledge at noon. I'll take you to the area that I know he's in. It's kind of a maze in there. I can't pinpoint his exact location, but we'll have better part of a day to find it. Best if we go during the day, we won't stand out as much. There is a community living there.
Right. Bert, also want to have, if I have to make another one, so be it, but I definitely want to make sure I have a potion with me before we go see Hellstrom. When we go see Hellstrom.
Yeah. You could even have that on you or in your pack. That wouldn't know not to counter just anything.
Yep. Because I want to. Oh, I've got suspicions, and that'll help. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong, but they would help.
I have had a thought of things that we might be able to use.
Okay.
If he still has the whatever inside him, then we will need to remove it.
Yep.
We have a doctor who can operate, but he will probably be an unwilling patient. Agreed. So strong chains or something that we can use to bind him
And I look over at Eddie. Have you still got the manacles?
I'm going to shake my arm.
Right, but those will manacle his hands so that he cannot move, so that he is shackled together. That will not stop him from moving.
No, but it might help limit some of his other abilities too.
It might, but will no help. I am assuming we can subdue him without any problems whatsoever.
Well, certainly I can get a hold of some chains or manacles. Might even be able to get a straitjacket or something if you're thinking that might help.
Probably not, as I suspect we will need to, the doctor will need to cut into him to find the rock and dig around for it.
Is his ability to heal quickly like? As in, if the doctor's not available, we might have to go rather brutally through and get this item out of him. Would he be able to survive that?
He kind of looks like I've heard stories that Lane is a pretty tough character. You get the idea that he doesn't exactly know what Lane's capable of.
We don't know what Lane's capable of.
No, we don't know capable. Really of course, comes to shove.
If I tell you what,
whatever, we'll get something sharp and just dig it out of him. No matter if we can't do it with finesse, we'll just get it out. That's important. Get it out is the most important thing. Get out the bullet and across.
Wimitai is a healer as well, so she might just be able to do it.
If you think of a way to use it, I've got a dentist friend here in Desiree that might get some access to some ether. Oh, if you're trying to, you know, trying to make him docile, like, maybe some ether would help.
Well,
it can't hurt.
Yes, that is true.
At this point, I'm just like, anything can't hurt.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
Knock him out.
Well, yeah, I'll see what I can do. Maybe I can get some.
In terms of net regards.
Just stares.
No, that, you know, we may have discussed with it at some point. Okay, but up against the ghost, this is what he's capable of. Have you thought of anything you can do against this particular powerful figure that's got more magic power than you ever will?
No, she's at a loss.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. All right. We're going to end the session there. This is basically getting to this point. The end part of this is going to be the face-off with Lane, and that will finish off the module.
And then you can go see Hellstrom and get killed.
I thought this was an interesting part here, because depending on how you acted in the bar, because Bo was watching the entire time. And so he's reporting back as to, because neither one of them were sitting very well with the fact that Lane just told them to murder anyone looking for them for him that would be coming through. So, you know, your actions are pretty much, you know, spoke enough of your character that they were willing to listen. Him coming out with Lane's face was like one of those, if he started shooting right away, well, then they'd know that you really were out to kill Lane. So,
yeah. Okay, well, that's fair enough. But if he was going to start killing us, that would have been something. But no, he didn't. So.
So that was all set up. Lane got here ahead of time. He got a hold with the agency. The two agents that were in town told them, look, people are on my trail. They're trying to kill me. You need to kill them first. Keep them busy while I finish this thing.
Do they know what the thing is?
They don't. Nope. what part of the junkyard that he's in to do this thing?
We need to find out and stop it as quickly as possible. Because we are heroes.
I just noticed at the end of this module, they actually have a checklist asking for people what happened. Like, did Lane die? Did Lane make it? Because apparently they used it to find out what happened in the ongoing plot.
Oh, fair enough.
Nice.
Well, we have yet to see. We may
kill him. Yep.
Yeah.
If we end up killing, we end up killing him. That's all I can say.
It's a little shorter than normal. I apologize, but this next part will take longer than, it is going to be a thing all its own, the confrontation.
Combat.
Yeah.
We'll finish it in a few minutes, I'm sure. Somebody will play damage card on him, and he won't be able to soak because he'll just roll double ones all the time. Because
oh, yes, there's a card that says you can't soak either.
Oh yeah, I've got that, haven't I?
Yeah.
Oh, if only we had all of those cards next week.
And this will give us a chance to get Sharon back.
We need her.
This does mean I do have the legendary chip I never spent, which means we can turn in for XP.
Yeah, that is true. So you got in the good graces of the two official agency people in here. You showed that you have good character. So we will call this 2 experience and get an extra one for the legendary chip.
Yay, we go up a level.
Yes.
On Silver Mine.
Yeah, I was going to say you should be on whatever it is, 161, I guess.
No, what Silver Mine?
Chris.
Oh, yeah, Chris. Yeah.
Should be on 161 because you missed a couple. But you're still.
Can weematize on something as well.
Huzzah! Oh, congratulations, everybody who's listened to this. You got to the end of it.
Yay. Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. Find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamstealmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.